We're doing Sefer Amidot, and we're up to the 15th chapter of Sha'al Hada'at, page Tzadi Dalit. And he had been discussing Emet, and then Yatziv, and now we're up to the next word, V'nachon. You guys have it? Page Tzadi Dalit. And he begins with quoting a fantastic medrash. The medrash is quoted in different contexts. There's one context where Turnus Rufus questioned Rabbi Akiva, which is greater, the actions of man or the actions of God? And Rabbi Akiva said, the actions of man. And Turnus Rufus was surprised by his response, and Rabbi Akiva said to him, look, everything God makes, man perfect, so to speak. Man synthesizes and makes it into something better. You can't go eat raw wheat. You got to make bread out of it. Everything you have, man perfects. So he quotes this medrash. There's a different way in which the medrash is presented. Da ki kvar amru chazal, our sages already said, kol ma'aseh v'reshit tzrichim tikun. Everything that God created requires the human hand, the human intervention to fix it. Hachardal lematek. If you harvest chardal, chardal maybe is mustard seed. You have to find a way to sweeten it. Hatumusin, that's some kind of bean that was very bitter. They'd cook it 7 times in order to sweeten it. Tzrich lemituk. You also need the human intervention to sweeten it. Achitim tzrichim nitachen. Wheat has to be ground. Vimdorim she nivreu tzrichim tikun. So if Chazal tell us that God's creations have to be fixed by the human being, so to speak. They need our intervention, our input to make them perfect. Kol sheken dvarim asher adam oseh otam. How much more so the things that the human will create. If it's a human innovation, then it also needs a finishing touch, so to speak. Kmo dad nimosiyot asher yasu al kach vekach parsaot ve'al kach vekach shanim. Just like people have customs that they instate. Different people have, when you live in certain communities, there are social norms, there are practices that people have for this area or this number of time. In kama takanotam chuyavot lishmirata, or people make all kinds of social institutions. And kama anashim chachamim viduim yitztachu lezeh? How many people have to think, okay, well, what laws will we set up for ourselves? What system? There's a whole science, political science. How do you make how do you make a society work? Kama choshvei machshavot b'mo'atzot v'dat lachkor eich u'ma la'asot. How many people have to think and people have to analyze and plan and figure out what exactly their society, what are the going to be the social norms of their society? V'lachkor al ofnim ha'mitchachim al ha'makom ha'zman ha'ishim nosei ha'dat. And you have to look into the different ways depending on the location. You know, many of our customs depend on where we come from. I remember there was a place where the norm was when you come to people's houses, you take off your shoes and put on their slippers. So I guess if you live in an area that's always rainy and muddy, that makes sense. There are different social norms that stem from where people live. The Eskimos, they say, have a custom that you have to lick off your plate to show you like it. Other places, if you don't burp, you're not showing that the meal, you appreciate the meal. You come to England and you try that, they'll kick you out, right? There are social norms, and it depends a little bit on the people, depends a little bit on the time, it depends a little bit on the location. And that's why, even when people make all kinds of institutions, there are all kinds of details. Because you can't take into account all the nuances and the new situations that can happen. And that's in accordance with the changes that happen with time, so the institutions change. Look at how many books are written on law. A lawyer has to have this whole library just to keep up with all the court cases and know what precedents we have for different cases. And if this is the way it is when it comes to customs, and these are things that are important, I need to know where my boundaries end, how late I could play music. You know, here in Israel, from 2 to 4, you're not supposed to play music. when I came to Israel 15 years ago, so I'd get yelled at because I called people, and they'd yell at me, why'd you call me between 2 to 4? Don't you know people nap between 2 to 4? I don't think people still do that, but when 15 years ago, you could still get yelled at if you called someone between 2 to 4 in the afternoon. I remember I'd knock at people's door if I was invited for a Shabbos meal or something, and they'd ask me, what are you so uptight about? And I'd say, what did I do that was uptight? And they'd say, why are you knocking and not using the bell? And I know where I grew up in America, the common practice was that if you used the bell, you were an annoyance. If you were a polite person, you knocked on the door. Now, go figure. You know, you come here and they look at you like, what are you doing? A lot of Americans that come here, they don't realize that there's a different ringtone when there's call waiting. When there's call waiting, it goes ta ta ta, ta ta ta. Now everyone knows that you who's calling hears that he's on the line. So if you're going to keep letting the call waiting beep him, so eventually he'll answer the phone, and after a minute he'll ask you, why are you such a nudnik? This wasn't so important. You knew I was on the other line. And when Americans come here, they don't get that, because in America you don't have that. So if this is the way it is with things that really are here to, society establishes certain norms so that we don't trample over one another, we don't infringe on one another's rights and one another's property. But at the end of the day, what happens if you were nudnik and call waiting? You didn't really disrupt a person's life. You know, you knock, you rang. These aren't things that affect a person's life. They could be annoyances. They help us live in society in a more comfortable way. They help us respect one another's privacy and one another's rights. But kiim lechavod u'shmira o letakanat ha'shukot, these are things that are matters of honor. These are things that they protect the marketplace. You have norms. But im kol ze halol yamim achadim yitildu al mishpechotam levet avtam sfekot rabot. And even in areas that are really relatively simple and less important, you find over time that there are tremendous questions about what the custom should be, what the norm should be, what's common practice. Ad asher gam im tishal et pi hamchokek atzmo, to the point where even if you ask the guy who started this law or this custom, he himself won't be sure in certain nuances and in certain circumstances what should be the proper way to behave. And if this is so, on things that we all understand what they are, נאתה בן אדם עמוד נא וארוך לנגדך יקר תורה חמודה נתונה לך מפי אותו הורה שכל הוויותינו חיינו וקיומנו רק על ברכי התורה כגמול עלי אמו. If you look at that and you see that when it comes to regular laws, when it comes to common practices where things should be relatively clear, what did the founding fathers have in mind when they wrote the Constitution? In many areas, things should be clear, and everyone's living, their life is affected by it. It does affect their life, whether they're going to accept Sharia law as a form of law or not. Does that mean that a Muslim who beats his wife is within the laws, within the confines of the law? She chose to enter this system, she chose to enter this marriage, she chose to live under Sharia law. Okay, so if he's entitled to beat her, what do you want from him? What are the limitations going to be? This is a question that's facing the United States today. Are you willing to recognize that as a law? Well, if in areas like this, where I think the average person has a pretty clear picture of what the essence of the law really believes and what the founding fathers believe and what people believe, now with that as the backdrop, we come and we look at the Torah. And we have someone, the Torah was given to us by the one and only, the one who really gives us its light, that gives us our existence, gives us our life. And he tells us, okay, now, just like a baby when it's sucking from its mother, it knows where its lifeline is coming from. So to you, you know that your future and your life revolves around the Torah. And the topics of the Torah, the truth is that they... They touch on topics that are the deepest topics on the planet. They're not only touching on the simple matters of how you're not allowed to harm your fellow man, but really the depths of understanding how the world functions and how God runs the world. That's all hidden in the Torah. Lo yada enosh shacharam. The human being doesn't understand the complete depths of the Torah. Lama umadu anesu min habemot v'chayot v'afot v'dagim. You ask the person, why does the Torah prohibit pig? Why are there certain animals that are prohibited and permissible? Certain birds, certain fish, ozochel v'romes, or certain creepy crawly creatures, nida v'ziva, a woman who has her period. Why does the Torah say at that time the couple have to separate? Keri ungeim, we have laws of defilement, a person who has an emission, a person that has the blemishes, odvarim amsuim el alev. So here you have mitzvos. You can't understand. Why did God forbid this? We could give all kinds of reasons, but at the end of the day, we don't know the ultimate reason behind these mitzvot. Or when it comes to mitzvot, that are areas of our thought, of our heart. Lo tachmod, the Torah says, thou shalt not covet. Lo tikom, don't take revenge. Lo titol, don't maintain enmity towards someone who hurt you. Yirah ve'aval Hashem chachamav. Love, fear, Hashem and His wise men, chametz, v'chol ha'machalot asurot, the prohibition of chametz, and all the food that's prohibited. V'chol sharei inyanim. And the truth is, in all other areas of the Torah, you're coming to a system, a legal system, a social system, where you don't understand the reasoning behind the laws that were written. Meaning we have the laws, we live by the laws, but if you ask me, do I know why God said I can't eat meat with milk? I don't know. There's a level of understanding I can attain, but I don't suppose to know that I know the reasoning behind God saying so. And the flip side of that is, v'atorah netuna el kol hamon b'shaveh, we just turned the page. The Torah wasn't only given to the wise men. You know, when it comes to interpreting the law, so you say there are lawyers, there are judges. The Torah is given to all of us, equally. Lizaken v'nar, to the elder and to the young, bari v'cholet, to the healthy and the sick, ani v'ashir, the poor and the wealthy, katan v'gadol, the young and the old, kohen v'navi, be it the priest, be it the prophet, v'nohek l'dorei dorot, and it is eternal, chok olam lo yavor, it ain't gonna change. Asher be'en safek, if v'mikrim ha'mitchalfim v'zmanim ha'mishtanim. It doesn't matter if you're living in Eskimo country and they lick their plate. It doesn't matter if they burp at the end of the meal. It doesn't matter if they just politely say thank you very much. It really doesn't matter. The Torah is applicable wherever you are, whatever time period you live in. So the Puritans thought it was moral to beat their wives. So today they think it's not moral. Now they're considering accepting Sharia law and making it moral. The Torah didn't change. Society changes. But the Torah and the guidance and the consistency of the Torah, that's where you see the truth in the Torah. It doesn't matter where you're living, and it doesn't matter in what time period you're living. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be the wealthiest, you could be the most important. The Torah has certain demands of you. Min ha-ra'uy k'mochen she'izdamnu sfekot rabot l'mot v'la'alafim. Don't you think that over time and over places there should be many areas of doubt? And nonetheless, the great wisdom gave us laws, gave us halachos. Every mitzvah has the exact way in which we're supposed to perform it. Let's take, for example, the mitzvah of Shabbos. We have a whole tractate, Shabbos and Erevin. Im kama chidushim migdolei goni olam, ki et kol yekara ata einam lever kol ha'efonim ha'efsharim shleitchadesh bazman uvamkom uvayishim ad olam. They encompassed all the areas of halacha that would come up. And you'll tell me, what about cloning? So I'll tell you, there's a gemara about cloning. There's a gemara about external in vitro fertilization. But they didn't have it. But they still discussed it. They encompassed all the areas that we might encounter. It could be that we're not smart enough to glean from their wisdom. It could be that you have to know enough to hit a bottom line, and we don't always know enough. The Talmud gives us three areas of discussion. Where is the human life held? Where is life in the body? Is brain death considered dead? Is the heart stopping considered dead? Are there vital organs that they define death? So the Talmud discusses this in three areas. And the Talmud presents different opinions. Now how do we rule bottom line? So we don't know how we rule bottom line. But that doesn't mean the Talmud didn't discuss it. We're not smart enough to glean from its wisdom. The Talmud discusses if you could get a sheep to give birth to a pig, is that pig kosher? Can you make a kosher pig? So why were they discussing it? Why did that interest the rabbis of the Talmud? So today we could do it. The Talmud discusses if a woman gets pregnant when her husband did not live with her. Someone emitted his seed in the bath. The woman took a bath and then she became pregnant. What do you do with that? The Talmud discusses a lot of things. The Talmud discusses a human being not created from two human beings. Wait a second. Where did they have that from? Why were they discussing it? They were wise men. What were they wasting their time for? Today, when we have all these areas of science developing, so we go back to the Talmud and say, wait a second. Now, are we smart enough to apply that wisdom? That's a different question. But the Torah was given to us in an encompassing manner, in a manner that can encompass all times, can encompass all people and all locations. And now it's up to us to glean from that wisdom. The Magid Midovna is on his way. He hasn't yet defined the word v'nachon, but he began by saying everything needs the human perfection, all of God's creations. And then he says, well, human beings' creations certainly need someone else to perfect it. And you see all the time that we can't get a system that's finished. We're always going to have more questions and things that even the ones who made the system don't have the answers to. On the other hand, when you look at the Torah is God's work, and that is all-encompassing. We cannot get to the bottom of it. We don't understand all the wisdom behind the Torah. We don't understand why necessarily the Torah said this is permissible or that's prohibited. But nonetheless, this great system, the Torah, was given to all of us. No holds barred. Whoever wants is allowed, and not only allowed, but expected to access the wisdom of the Torah as best as he can. And we'll move forward. Bezat Hashem next time.